seriously popular.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In January 2023, Constance Martin and her boyfriend Mark Gordon disappeared and went on the run with their newborn baby, Victoria.
A nationwide search resulted in the sad discovery of Victoria's body, and the pair have now been charged with killing her, which they both deny.
I'm Jack Hardy, a news reporter for the Daily Mail. I'll be in court every day, reporting the events as they happen.
And I'm broadcaster and journalist Caroline Cheetham. Together, we'll take you behind the headlines, bringing you the evidence, witness statements and testimony from the Old Bailey in London.
This is The Trial, Constance Martin and Mark Gordon.
Constance Martin has now been in the witness box for 6 days, and for most of that time, she's faced some pretty gruelling cross-examination at the hands of the prosecutor, Joel Smith. Today, we'll bring you up to speed with everything we've heard over the course of the past few days.
We'll explain how Constance Martin told jurors she would much rather have been sleeping in a plush bed in a palace than in a tent. And then she reached for a reference to Jesus to justify her decision.
We'll explain how she said her plans to take their newborn baby abroad were inspired by a man who, it would later emerge, encourages children to invent bomb plots and allegations of abuse against social workers.
How she believed her family was so influential that if they told social services to jump, they would reply, "How high?"
And how she admitted she was reduced to living like a rat, scurrying through bins for food.
Welcome to episode 15. Jesus survived in a barn.
So, Jack, it was over a week ago, last Thursday to be exact, when Constance Martin first started giving her evidence, and most of her time in the witness box has been at the hands of Joel Smith, the prosecutor who has been picking over her story, and this has continued over the past couple of days. So today we'll be outlining, at times, some of their pretty tetchy exchanges.
Yeah, so we're going to start with Joel Smith wanting to know more about when the couple arrived in East Ham by taxi on January the 7th. Now, at this point, CCTV shows that Constance Martin was carrying Victoria under her puffer jacket, but she admitted she didn't have her in a sling at this point because they hadn't had time to wrap one around her. She said this was why they had wanted to get a pram, because it wasn't always easy to find somewhere to put a sling on without drawing attention to themselves. She said the process could take around 4 minutes. Despite not having a sling, she said, Victoria was quite secure.
Mr. Smith then asked her about the temperature, and he reminded her of the evidence of a paediatric expert witness called Dr. Gaurav Atreja, who we heard from a few episodes ago. Now, he had said that for every layer a parent wears when taking a newborn baby out into the cold, the child should wear an extra layer. And, he said, he wouldn't advise parents to keep babies out in colder temperatures for much more than half an hour. Here's their exchange, voiced by actors.
Is it cold?
I mean, it doesn't look warm, but I cannot remember off the top of my head.
You remember what Dr. Atreja said? You need to put an extra layer on for a baby.
I used to babysit some kids in Switzerland when I was a teenager. The dad was quite an avid skier. He would take the three-year-old on the baby slopes and ask me to take the baby in a pram down the ski slope in snow blizzards. It was absolutely freezing. The The baby was in a pram, in a plastic cover, in a warm top and a little sleeping bag, and we would be out there for hours. I don't believe what Dr. Atreja is saying. Of course you can have babies outside, as long as they're kept warm.
When you say you don't believe him, do you mean you don't believe that's the recommendation, or do you mean you don't agree?
I don't agree with it. People live in very cold countries without any central heating. The world hasn't had central heating until very recently. Humanity has managed to survive. As long as you can manage to keep the child warm. She's against my body under a thick jacket. Of course she is warm.
So the court was then shown more footage of the couple as they travelled across East London.
Do we ever see her hat on?
I don't know. I haven't seen all the footage.
In case there's some kind of conspiracy theory going on, you've been given all the footage.
I'm not saying there's a conspiracy theory going on. It's just difficult when you're in prison because there's only a set amount of time to...
Now, at this moment, Constance Martin's barrister Francis Fitzgibbon got to his feet and suggested that such comments were unhelpful, and the judge agreed, but said her answer should also not be laced with comment.
Back to East Ham and what the child was wearing. It's in the cotton baby grow, isn't it?
Yes, I believe she was in a onesie.
The one that was found by police in the shed after you dumped your child's body.
I really take issue with the word dumped.
How would you describe putting your child's body in a plastic bag with rubbish?
She wasn't placed in a bag with rubbish to begin with, and I would say the word placed, not dumped.
After you placed your child's body in a plastic bag, you filled it with a sandwich wrapper and beer can?
The beer can was quite a while afterwards.
Was that any better?
No, but I don't think you can comprehend something unless you're going through it. We had a lot of people in the bus trying to look in our bag, and I know it's awful, but I think when you're in a position like that, the only thing I can say is that in a movie, when someone passes away, their immediate reaction is to panic. And I think Mark and I were not in a very good place. We were both gripped with fear and grief. Neither of us were in our correct frame of mind.
Put it in a shed, yes?
We were staying in a shed. We were going back to the shed.
And you refused to tell the police where it was?
Yes.
Is it fair to say that's abandoned?
No, I was on my way back. She wasn't dumped anywhere. She was with us the whole time.
Mr. Smith then went on to suggest that a lot of the stuff that Constance Martin claimed she had for Victoria, such as a blue camouflage jacket, was not actually with them because nothing like it was found in the shed. However, a jacket like that had been found by police next to the burnt-out car they had fled a few days earlier. She said she'd bought several versions of the same jacket, and she reminded the jury that she'd previously told them she kept three bags packed up in different locations at any one time, in case they needed to make a quick getaway. One in the place they were staying, one in the boot of the car, and one on her person.
Then he asked her about the sleeping bag that she'd been using to keep the baby warm. She described it as a sub-zero sleeping bag, but Mr. Smith said the product description suggested it would be more appropriately called a foot muff. She said her husband was amazing, but he'd bought a pram for the wrong age range, toddlers rather than newborns. So the foot muff covered the whole of Victoria.
Mr. Smith questioned why, at no point in the footage, we saw Victoria being placed inside any of these supposedly insulative layers, given that it was cold and raining. Constance Martin replied that she was warm enough inside their jackets, and if she had not been warm enough, she would have given her more layers.
Then they watched some CCTV of the couple in a Doner kebab shop. Mark Gordon can be seen entering and taking Victoria out of his coat and handing her to Constance Martin. The footage then shows Constance Martin picking up Victoria and not supporting her head.
How do you feel looking at that, about the way you supported her head?
She's okay. She's fine.
You don't have any concerns looking at the way you picked her up?
No.
You don't accept that you were treating her in a cavalier fashion?
No, I'm just confident with my children. I know how to hold them.
Constance Martin suggested this was how midwives recommended lifting up children, with her hand under the child's bottom. So Mr. Smith made her watch the clip again.
Do you accept that is not how midwives recommend you carry your child?
She's fine. I don't understand what the problem is. There's nothing wrong with her.
Isn't that rather the issue in this case, that you never understand what the problem is?
Have any of my children ever been neglected or underfed? You've seen the case files. My children were taken away because of an incident of domestic violence. There was no harm to my kids. Every time my children have been seen by social workers, they are happy, well-fed, well-clothed, well-looked after, content children. My children weren't taken because of a lack of care. They were taken because they said I was involved in an incident of domestic violence. I know how to take care of my children.
Mr. Smith then turned to why the couple made the decision to get a tent and go camping. Constance Martin said they had concluded it wasn't feasible for them to get a flat in East Ham, so they were not left with many other options.
You knew it was cold. It had been raining.
I've gone camping a lot in my life. It was only for a pit stop until we could find somewhere down there.
You thought this was okay?
I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't okay.
Did you discuss this with Mr. Gordon?
Of course I did.
Did either of you question whether it was a good idea?
I think you're looking at this from a very Western perspective. People live in shanty towns in makeshift tents. You're looking at it from a first world perspective.
She then referred back to the time that she took her two oldest children to Ireland, which we've mentioned in a previous episode. She said she was able to quickly find a cottage where she could pay with cash, and so she thought the plan was achievable. She said she felt she had no other choice because the other choice was to put her children into care. And she claimed her two older children used to turn up to contact meetings with bruises.
So then they turned to the couple's arrival in Whitechapel and some of the CCTV of them crossing the road, which appeared to show Mark Gordon wearing plastic bags on his feet.
Why has he got bags on his feet?
That's a question for Mr. Gordon, not for me. I can only guess probably because it was raining. I don't know.
You were in the taxi with him.
I don't have plastic bags on my feet.
You're about to walk down the street with him. He's got plastic bags on his feet. Presumably he put plastic bags on his feet while you were there.
That's a question for him. I don't have any recollection.
Did you ever say to him, Mark, what are you doing?
Mark always does things like that. I can only guess.
Are you already slipping into a life that is seriously uncomfortable?
I mean, I don't have plastic bags on my feet, so I can't have been very uncomfortable. I don't know. You'll have to ask him.
Mr. Smith said that around this time there must have been some discussion about what they were going to need.
I need to be as candid as I can, but I want to be careful what I say because I don't have a clear memory of everything we spoke about. But I imagine the conversation went something like, let's get a tent, get a property in the countryside. Babe, would you mind going to buy a tent and whatever else we need?
It's a pretty big decision, isn't it?
Not when your four children have been stolen. No, it's a pretty easy one.
You don't think deciding to take a newborn child into the countryside to sleep in a tent is a big decision?
I think when my children were physically abused in care, spat on, thrown on the floor, it's a pretty easy decision to make.
I didn't ask if it was an easy or hard decision. I asked if it was a big decision.
Well, I just want to say, I kept telling the local authority that my children were coming with bruises, and I kept being ignored. They ended up proving me right. They had been abused, and my children were removed from that particular person. It was an easy decision to make.
An easy decision, not a big decision.
It's not easy in the sense that I don't particularly want to be in a tent. You know, I've grown up with a lot of luxury. I've been very blessed in that respect. So me, living in a tent? I really don't like it. I like feathered duvets and comfort. But I will do anything for my child, as long as she is kept warm. I will put myself in any position for her. I will do anything for my baby. Anything.
You find living in a tent uncomfortable?
Of course it's uncomfortable. I'd rather be in a plush bed in a palace. But for my child, I'll live in a tent.
So you've taken the decision to go and sleep in conditions that you find uncomfortable?
I'd rather be in a nice big bed, yeah.
Conditions you would find uncomfortable?
Well, I like camping. I love being outside. I'm outdoorsy. But I'd rather be in a bed, yeah.
So, far as you're concerned, this isn't a problem. This isn't something you need to think about much.
We're acting on instinct, but I have to save my child. She's my number one priority. We were in a tent for Victoria. I would have rather been in the house. But there was so much pressure, so much public attention. We were driven into a situation where, had these factors not been around, we wouldn't have been in a tent. It's a situation you cannot prepare for. A mother's love for her child was incredibly strong. No way was I going to part with my child.
To be clear, was it because the press had named you, or because you weren't going to part with your child?
It wasn't that the press named us. It was that there were too many people looking for me and my baby. We were pretty much hiding from the entire public because I was worried that Victoria would be taken.
She then insisted that she'd had no input into the type of tent Mark Gordon had bought for them when he went to Argos, but she said they'd lived in a tent previously when she was pregnant with her first child. So Mr. Smith asked her about the advice she'd been given by a social worker who visited that tent back in 2017.
The tent you had was described by a social worker as an inappropriate place to have a child.
She said I was planning on giving birth in the tent, which was absolute rubbish.
Were you warned that was an inappropriate environment in which to bring a child?
Of course it's not the best environment to bring up a child. Of course it's not. But I have to choose between saving my child from the local authority, who have acted abhorrently with my children, and saving my daughter. If I thought Victoria was unsafe, or hadn't enough to stay warm, at no point would I ever put her in a position where she wasn't cared for.
The prosecutor then quoted what the social workers had said, that the conditions were wholly inappropriate for a baby. It was freezing, the blankets were cold and damp, and there were bottles of urine outside the tent.
Now here you are, trying to do exactly the same thing. You had been told bringing a baby into a tent like that was wholly inappropriate.
Of course we would prefer to have a house, but you can find yourself in circumstances in life where your choices are taken away.
Not just better to be in a house, wholly inappropriate.
People live in tents with babies all around the world.
Wholly inappropriate.
I disagree.
You disagree. Constance Martin knew better than the social services.
Absolutely. Social services are an absolute abomination. And one day I do believe, like the post office scandal, where these things were ignored, it will be looked at how these people behave and there'll be uproar. I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe our case will be looked at independently in the future and we will receive a public apology.
She then went on to describe how she'd begged social workers to help her and they tried to steal her baby from her. But before she was allowed to elaborate on this, the judge, Mark Lucraft, again intervened and reminded her to focus on answering the questions that she'd been asked. He said he'd looked at the clock when she started answering the question posed to her by Mr. Smith, and 4 minutes had elapsed before he interrupted her to what he said was a relatively straightforward question. So Mr. Smith again turned back to the decision they made to go camping with Victoria.
You knew, didn't you, that you would have no access to heating?
Most tents don't have heating, yeah.
No access to hot water?
Yeah, that's self-explanatory.
No access to electricity?
Obviously, yeah.
You knew it was winter?
Yeah.
What do you think that meant for your child?
We're going round in circles. People around the world live in conditions like this. As long as their children are well taken care of, nurtured and well loved, you can pretty much live in any condition, as long as your baby is warm and well-fed and taken care of.
But you decided to remove yourself from society?
Yes, because of all the press interest.
So she was asked what she would do about food, and she explained that they had takeaway leftovers from various restaurants they'd been to during their day in East London. She said they had initially planned to go to Portsmouth or Plymouth, but admitted she had no knowledge of either area, only that they were ports.
So just turn up in a random place on the south coast, pitch a tent.
You do realise there are societies like Bedouin who walk through cold deserts with children. They all survive. I don't understand. You've got this perspective. People do things in the immediacy that they have to do in that instance. So yes, that was our plan.
So you were just going to find a barn, a farm building that people were just going to let you rent for cash?
Jesus survived in a barn, didn't he?
And that was your parenting model.
I would do anything for my child to stop them being taken by that system, which, quite frankly, is abhorrent.
We'll take a break there.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So this pretty grueling cross-examination continued as the jury were taken through the camping items that were bought by the couple. Constance Martin confirmed that a unicorn sleeping bag which was bought from Argos would have been for Victoria, but she said they didn't have a plan at this point for their precise sleeping arrangements.
I'm asking you to remember how you planned for the care of your newborn child. The care of your newborn child who, you say, days later, died.
Yeah, she passed away because I fell asleep on her.
One of the key issues in this case is how you cared for her.
I think one of the problems with this case is that if this was any other case, without the amount of pressure and media presence, I wouldn't have been investigated like this.
Do you think it's unfair to ask about the preparation you took for caring for that child before you slept with her in a tent?
I don't think you understand why we're in a tent. We weren't in a tent because Mark and I had a penchant for tents. We were in a tent because of our love for our daughter. If I felt at any point desperately uncomfortable or cold, I would have gone out and bought more from the garage.
So they then turned to the CCTV captured in Whitechapel when the couple dumped the buggy they had just bought. Remember, this is the moment the prosecution say that baby Victoria was put into the little bag for life. But Constance Martin insisted that, at this point, Mark Gordon was actually carrying her in his jacket.
His jacket is open, isn't it?
He's carrying Victoria. She's not in a shopping bag. He's got another jacket on underneath.
He's got a gilet on underneath, but his jacket is open, isn't it?
I just think this whole line of reasoning is utterly absurd. That she's in a bag, alive. It's absurd. Sorry.
Both of you have got your coats open and you can't see Victoria. So if Mr. Gordon is carrying her, she must be under quite a tight-fitted gilet.
She's secure and safe.
Neither of you can see her head, so the options are she's underneath that gilet, or she's in that bag.
She's not in a bag. I haven't put my alive baby in a bag. It's ridiculous. If I'd have done that, she would have been screaming. People would have noticed that. Our number one priority is to keep our baby with us, for her to be secure and safe.
She then told the jury about their plans to get to the South Coast, and she was asked by Mr. Smith if their plan was still to stow away. She said she'd been reluctant to mention somebody's name previously, but now she decided to do so. She said he was called Ian Josephs and he had a website called No More Forced Adoptions. She said he lived in France and he helped parents in their situation and he ran a chain of schools across France. She said she'd been in contact with him for a number of years and that he would help them when they were on the other side of the border, but she admitted she'd not spoken to him for a couple of years by this point.
So the plan was to live somewhere in Europe with Ian Joseph's help?
Yeah, a lot of parents do it. There's a big underground network in Europe where they help parents get away from social services.
You found this out from the internet, presumably?
I've been in touch with Ian for a number of years.
But this underground network of parents, that's an internet thing?
No, it's throughout Europe. A lot of parents have fled the country with their children.
Yeah, sure, but you're not attending a conference, are you? This underground network of parents you're aware of, they're on internet forums.
I don't think so, no.
How are you aware of them?
I've been in touch with certain people.
What? There's a secret code?
There's not a secret code, but there's people that people can put me in touch with.
What do you do? Turn up at the port and say, I would like to find the underground network of parents, please?
No, it's people who will put you in touch with someone.
How do you go about getting in touch with the underground network of parents?
I'm not going to divulge that information.
If it's not an internet echo chamber, who's telling you? You can't just look them up in the phone book, can you? Are there forums? People on the internet who have theories about social services?
They are not theories. You can't keep saying conspiracy theories. I've gone to university. I've had a great education. I've been very blessed like that. I'm not into conspiracy theories.
How did you become aware of the network of parents? Can you explain that to the jury?
I'm not going to give this information when other people need to use it. But of course the internet plays a part in it. It's like a modern-day library.
Now, Jack, we should say here that after Constance Martin's allegations about Ian Josephs, the man she said was going to help them once they got abroad, the prosecution did some investigating into exactly what this underground network was all about.
Yeah, they did, and they said Ian Josephs had some dubious advice for the parents he said he was helping, and on his website there were a few golden rules.
Capital letters, never, back to lowercase letters, contact social services, child protection, for help or advice. You should consider very carefully before you report a partner who batters you, or even a stranger who sexually assaults your young child, as if you do, social services will take your children into care to protect them from risk. Let's take that in stages. Never contact social services for help or advice.
I think there is a lot of monetary gain in taking very young babies from parents.
You should consider very carefully before you report a partner who batters you, or even a stranger who sexually assaults your child. Good advice?
You should go to the police. You wouldn't go to social services to report it.
If social services track you down to a foreign country and try to take your children back to be put in foster care in the UK, tell those children how to resist. They should keep quiet until security at the airport and then loudly accuse their escort social worker of smuggling drugs in rubber tubes and making them do the same.
That's a way to get them off your back as quickly as possible.
Alternatively, they can say they heard their social worker talking to an Arab at the airport about blowing up the plane. With luck, they will miss the flight.
I think he's being facetious. I think we need a full printout of this website because you're cherry-picking sections which suit the prosecution. I don't know how old this man is now. He might be in his 70s or 80s. He comes from a different time. I don't think he's racist.
Mr. Smith asked if she thought this was a good idea, and she replied that she didn't think he meant a lot of the examples in a literal sense. She described her concerns working with lawyers on social care cases and said that she'd been told by one lawyer that once their children were put up for adoption, they would fly off the shelf because there was nothing wrong with them. She said adopted children were put on a shopping website with their photograph and details about what they like doing.
But Mr. Smith said that the playbook on Ian Josephs' website was so extreme and encouraged children to make false allegations of crime.
The problem I had was I was not just up against social services, but family members who were very influential with huge connections in high places, including Parliament. If they said to social services, jump, social services will say, how high? They were highly embarrassed about the fact I had children with Mark and the fact they do not come from an upper-class, privileged background.
You done?
Yeah.
Do you remember what the question was?
No.
It's really going to help if you concentrate on the questions rather than making speeches.
Now, she insisted she never made a false allegation about a social worker, but when she was asked whether it was okay to lie about such things, she said that most women would do anything for their children.
Do you think it's perfectly fine to lie to this jury if it gets you out of the trouble you find yourself in after it caused your child's death?
Are you seriously going there? That's an outrage. Because I agree with Ian Josephs, that equates with me lying now. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Mr. Smith asked about their arrival in New Haven, which is where they began to camp in the wild, and Constance Martin confirmed their plan was to get as far away from people as possible.
I think the manhunt for us was very violent. I still don't understand why it was so extreme. Unless you've gone through it, your main reaction is to get away from prying eyes.
They looked at the CCTV of the couple walking down the road in New Haven, and Mr. Smith suggested again that the baby could be in the bag, because Constance Martin could be seen carrying two bags, while Mark Gordon could be seen with a bag slung over his shoulder. But she insisted that Mark Gordon had been carrying Victoria, and that she was secure.
The suggestion I'm going to make to you is you are pretty cavalier about how you treat this child.
If I was cavalier, I would have handed her to the authorities and not given a damn. Everything we're doing is for her. That's what you don't seem to comprehend. I don't think we're cavalier at all. We're trying to protect her and love her.
Do you still think that was a good choice?
I wish she was alive. Her death wasn't caused by where we are. It was a very sad set of circumstances, a tragic accident that could have happened anywhere, but we happened to be in a tent.
Then they turned to the moment they went from New Haven onto the South Downs, and Mr. Smith questioned whether they thought at any point that things were going too far.
No, absolutely not. My children have not had a good time in care. They've had serious issues being separated from us. At no point did I ever think that what we were doing wasn't in our best interests.
Would you do it again?
No.
Do you accept now it was the wrong thing to do?
I accept that her passing away was awful. So if I could have stopped the sequence of events, I'd prefer her to be anywhere than in my arms at that moment, at that time.
So you accept it was the wrong thing to do?
I don't accept being in a tent was the wrong thing to do. I think me being exhausted and sitting up in that moment in time was very unfortunate. But that could have happened anywhere.
Even now, even after everything, you don't accept it was wrong to take that child into the tent?
No, because that's not how she passed. I do feel very responsible for her death. But I don't think it had anything to do with being in a tent. It could have happened if I was in a hotel and fell asleep.
You said you felt responsible for her death. Are you responsible for her death?
I think to a degree, of course, I feel responsible as her mum. I do feel responsible for her death. But at the same time, I have to love and forgive myself, which is what I'm trying to do, because it's just a really awful set of circumstances, and I just didn't mean to fall asleep. But obviously I live with that sadness because she died in my arms.
Are you responsible for her death?
I don't think I could have helped falling asleep, and that's where I need to learn to forgive myself.
Do you stand by your words that you gave her the best that anyone could give?
We put ourselves in that situation because we loved her so much, and not for any other reason.
Having no access to heating or hot water, is that the best anyone could give to a baby?
I know this sounds silly, but the human race has propagated from cavemen who lived in caves, and humanity has survived. Those women, 2,000 years ago, those Neanderthals, were they wrong? Their children survived because mothers have an instinct to protect, love and nurture and keep their child warm. I gave her every love and warmth I could in that moment. My set of circumstances were something I could never foresee, that I was going to be wanted all over the press. I have had a very privileged upbringing, but my family are used to getting what they want, and they won't stop until they get it. They're very well-connected people. I'm up against a lot. My family have been working with authorities because they don't agree with who I've had children with. The fact that I've had children outside of what they deem to be appropriate, they've done everything they can to remove those children. I did what I knew I needed to do to save Victoria.
Mr. Smith then asked her again about their sleeping arrangements in the tent, and she said Victoria would sometimes lie between them on top of a pillow, or most of the time she would be sleeping on her chest under her jacket.
She was asleep on my chest or Mark's chest.
With the zip done up, covering her face?
Yes.
Where is the baby's head?
On my chest.
Is she on her back or her front?
You always put a baby on their front.
You decided to put your child face down on your chest with your jacket zipped up. Given the crowded nature of the tent, did you not think that was dangerous?
Constance Martin insisted that in this position the baby had enough air to breathe, but Mr. Smith then suggested the baby had died of hypothermia. She said her death was a horrible accident, and she denied that holding her baby in her lap when she was breastfeeding was not an inherently dangerous thing to do.
Do you accept that in the condition you were in and the decisions you made, when you were in that tent, you exposed that child to an obvious risk of death?
No.
An obvious risk of serious injury?
No.
And conditions which any sane person would realise amounted to neglect?
I am sane, and no.
She was then asked why she hadn't phoned 999 when they discovered the baby had apparently died.
Because she wasn't alive.
Why didn't you phone for an ambulance so she could be taken to hospital and be treated with dignity?
I think Mark and I were in a very bad place. We were in a lot of shock and torment. When someone passes away that you love, you're not in the right frame of mind. But she wasn't alive. So there wasn't anything the hospital would have been able to do. She wasn't alive. So how could the hospital have dealt with her with dignity?
Because, in fact, you ended up putting her in a plastic bag, didn't you? Sitting in her own feces in a nappy.
Please don't put it like that.
Is it true?
That's really not nice to hear. Sorry. I don't think we were in the right frame of mind at all. I think we were in a traumatic state. We didn't know what to do.
Was she left in a plastic bag sitting in her own feces?
Please, can you not say it like that? I don't like that at all.
Is it true?
I found it too difficult to change her nappy after she passed. So I wrapped her in a black headscarf and I placed her in a bag. And I had no intention of keeping her in the bag. And I know it looks awful. If you look at it objectively, it looks horrible. but I don't think either of us were in a good frame of mind. I think when someone passes away, your immediate reaction is, oh my God, they're going to blame me, as if I was an evil woman who has killed her child. Without the media presence, I would have dealt with it in a normal way. It's just we weren't in a normal situation. Everything about it was abnormal, and we acted abnormally.
Your instinct was to put your child's body in a plastic bag.
My immediate fear was this happening, that they weren't going to accept the truth, that I had done something evil and sinister. I panicked and didn't know what to do.
Mr. Smith then asked her again about the decision to cover the baby's body with litter.
I hadn't looked at it like that at the time, but when I saw the footage at the start of this case, I think that was the first time I looked at it objectively, and I found it quite shocking. I don't think I was in the right frame of mind. That's not an excuse, because I love my daughter, and it upsets me to think that she was in that position. I know it sounds really odd, but the way I look at it, that's not really Victoria. When she's gone, her body is just part of that. It's not the biggest part of her. That's her flesh. That's just a part of Victoria.
Do you accept that you stripped her of dignity in death?
I definitely could have given her a burial. I hope to do so one day. But I think we were in a set of circumstances. We were being branded all over the press. My baby had just died. I thought they were going to have a field day here. The truth isn't going to be accepted. And that's exactly what's happened here. The truth isn't being accepted. You want something weird, sinister, and horrible to have happened. I didn't know how to deal with the situation. The whole nation was looking for me, and then my baby passed away. I didn't know what to do. I just lived like a rat. Panicked, basically. Scurried through bins because neither of us were in a right frame of mind. Terrified, to be honest with you.
Do you accept that you stripped her of dignity in death?
5 weeks just went by. There was no premeditation about it.
But did you strip her of her dignity in death?
No, because she will have her dignity. That's not Victoria. It's an element of her. It's like a spacesuit. It's her flesh. Her spirit is what's important. I want to give her a proper burial. Of course I do.
Mr. Smith then asked her about the days and weeks after Victoria's death, and she denied the suggestion that she kept the body so it would decompose and make it harder for a pathologist to establish a cause of death. But she did admit she had considered burning Victoria's remains.
I thought they don't have proof I definitely have a baby, so I thought maybe I should have a pyre and get rid of the evidence completely.
Getting rid of the evidence completely?
Yeah, so they didn't know I ever had a baby.
This is all about stopping an investigation.
I didn't trust the process at all. Looking back in hindsight, that was pretty unwise of me. But you can't understand something until you're in someone's shoes.
So that's it for this week. Now, the court isn't sitting next week, which means we'll be back the week after next to keep you up to date. When we come back, we're expecting to hear the end of Joel Smith's cross-examination, and then Constance Martin will be re-examined by her own lawyer.
Constance Martin and Mark Gordon deny manslaughter by gross negligence. They also deny perverting the course of justice, concealing the birth of a child, child cruelty, and causing or allowing the death of a child.
In the meantime, you can follow us on X at The Trial Podcast and contact us on thetrial@mailmetromedia.co.uk.
You can leave a comment on Spotify or even send us a voice note on WhatsApp on 07796 657 512. Start your message with the word trial.
See you then.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.